finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet I hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. A word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
Almighty God, whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought or in deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us and lead us, so that we may delight
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, you are the source of life and the ground of our being. By the power of your Spirit, bring healing to this wounded world and raise us to the new life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens and lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt and lay down your heart. Come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table. Come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens and lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. Come as you are. Fall in his arms. Come as you are. There's joy for the morning. O sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens and lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt and lay down your heart. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are.
Well, I'm glad I just got to read and not follow that up, but a reading from Hosea. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their distress, they will beg my favor. Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is He who has torn, and He will heal us. He has struck down, and He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up, and we may live before Him. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like morning, is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Therefore, I have honed them by the prophets. I have killed them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Listen, my people, and I will speak. Israel, I will bear witness against you, for I am God, your God. I will not accept a calf from your stalls, nor goats from your pens. I know every bird of the mountains, and the creatures of the fields are mine. Do you think I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall honor me. A reading from Romans. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations. According to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead. For he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, and he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words it was reckoned to him were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believed in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, for she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned. Seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you might recall a mission trip that some members of our church went on back in 2013 to Washington, D.C. through an organization called Youth Service Opportunities Project, acronym YSOP. It was the second time that I was able to do this trip through this organization. The first time I did so was in New York City. And what I like about YSOP is that it's educational as much as it is hands-on, where we worked at soup kitchens and clothing banks, food banks, various types of social outreach organizations in those cities. But as part of the week, and those of you who went on that trip might remember, as part of the week, there was one evening where the neighborhood would come to the church that was kind of our hub for the week, right? For a meal that evening. And I think for many people, it's always the hardest part of the week on this trip because you're not allowed to serve, right? I think we prepped the meal, but that's all we were able to do was prep the meal. What we had to do is eat the meal with those from the neighborhood. There were tables with games and things of that nature, but we had to sit with them and eat with them. We couldn't hide behind a serving line, so to speak. We couldn't just kind of be in the shadows. We had to be immersed with a sample of the homeless and hungry population in Washington, D.C. It was an invitation to be relational when oftentimes our outreach can be transactional. And notice that's what Jesus invites us to be, relational, not simply transactional. Jesus doesn't just feed people, he eats with people. He's eating with the very people that can make us uncomfortable to eat with, to fellowship with. They might be very different from us, and Jesus invites us to sit with them. So it's not just a modern phenomenon that we don't want to be with or seen with the quote-unquote wrong crowd. When we hear in our gospel lesson the question, a judgmental question, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus' response is pretty simple. It's because they need me. They're not outside of God's scope, of God's love. They're not outside of God's kingdom or God's family. God desires for them to be with God. The actions of people in this world can disqualify them from being included in various organizations or gatherings of the world. People have been alienated by their actions or inaction forever. And institutions like churches have been notorious for shunning people because of their behavior and actions. That I suppose would be the equivalent to not wanting to be around the tax collector and the sinner in the eyes of the religious elite in Jesus' day. But Jesus seeks to extend mercy to all of those who need it. It's in our brokenness that we live in a society and in a world in which we define what is quote-unquote good, and then if you don't live up to that, you have the right to be excluded. What are some of the requirements that are necessary for us to fit in this world? Could be about the amount of money that we make. It could be how we dress, the kind of vehicles we drive, where we shop, our race, our gender, where we live. There's so many factors to what the requirements are for us to truly fit in. But what happens when the requirements that we have become like a god to us? We make an idol of them. What happens? Well, I believe people literally and figuratively can die. They die because we can so easily neglect them because they don't belong. They belong over there on the margins. They have no business interacting with those who have met the requirements of the world, with those who are considered quote-unquote clean. We've segregated ourselves with one another where we don't even have the option to help some people in need because the idolatry of our requirements keep people at a distance. In meeting the requirements of Jesus' context, in our gospel lesson, the woman that's been hemorrhaging for 12 years has no business being around Jesus, but she knows that Jesus is here to extend mercy. She knows Jesus is here to heal. She knows that Jesus is here to include people just like her. And he does. Are we convicted for the lack of mercy that we've embodied at times in our life, as part of the church even, as we navigate this world? We are accustomed to hearing how people use these requirements that we've set up to create a way in which they're really not our requirements, right? They're God's requirements. We put it on God. It gives us a reason to neglect. It gives us a reason to exclude. We say it's not us. It's all from God. And when we do that, we fail ourselves. We fail others. We try to cut people off from experiencing God's mercy in Christ. And churches can be so focused on getting people to come to their churches that we're missing what Jesus is doing. What's he doing here? In Matthew's gospel, he's going out and hanging out with people who do not meet the requirements, who are told that they do not belong. So the good news that we hear in all this is that Jesus Christ is for us, all of us. And it is the culmination of Jesus' behavior and ministry that gets him executed, that puts him on a cross. The way of Jesus ends up putting him to death, but it's the cross that Jesus then shows the whole world that God's mercy is boundless. Jesus is for all of us. Look at who he extends mercy to in our gospel lesson today. A tax collector and sinners he's eating with. A woman hemorrhaging. And then the daughter of a synagogue leader. See, sometimes we can
in the way we kind of put ourselves in our ideological camps, we could be like, I'm only going to focus on people on the margins, or I'm only going to focus on the insiders. What does Jesus do? Because there's a leader of the synagogue and there's people on the margins. He's telling us, I'm for everybody. The insider and the outsider belong to God's kingdom, period. Period. There are no barriers to God's love. He's for all of us. Jesus is for us, and we are welcomed at the table. We are reminded at the Lord's table that Jesus is for you in the Holy Supper. Anna and Lydia receiving their first Holy Communion today. And I pray that they will always be reminded and humbled, as all of us should be, every time we come to the table. That none of us come to the table because we have met a requirement. But all of us are welcome to the table because God is gracious and merciful. Jesus is for us and comes to us in that means of grace that sustains our faith. We also hear these words today in our gospel lesson, that your faith has made you well. Faith and trust in Jesus, not faith and trust in the requirements of this world. But I worry about how the language, your faith has made you well, can be used. It can turn faith into a work. It can be used in abusive ways in which people feel that if they're not getting any better, if their loved one's not getting any better, if there's a lot of difficult times in their life, well, you just don't have enough faith. That's why it's better, I think, to look at faith as trust, placing our trust in Jesus over the requirements of the world. My seminary professor, one of my New Testament seminary professors, Rick Carlson, said that in our Romans lesson for today, that many English translations insert the word guarantee in chapter 4, verse 16. And he says it undercuts Paul's entire argument. Paul is writing about the promise that is reliable rather than guaranteed. He argues that guarantees are a matter of law, not promise. An example he offers is that if a customer receives a guarantee on a purchase, they've entered into a contractual relationship with the seller. If the purchase does not live up to the terms of the guarantee, the seller is bound by law to provide a repair, a replacement, a refund. If not, the purchaser can take the seller to small claims court, precisely because this is a law-based relationship. He says that's not what's going on here. He's arguing that for Abraham, God's promise is that he would be the father of many nations. It's a promise. The divine promise flew in the face of all outward evidence because Abraham is, his body's as good as dead. The deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't have a guarantee. He had a promise. And Dr. Carlson says that the Greek word here is best understood as trust, faithfulness, fidelity. So when Paul talks about Abraham's faith, he's focusing on trust and faithfulness. That's where we place our trust, in God's promises. A God who promises to show up. A God who wants to be with us. A God who wants to include all people. And notice it's not us who finds Jesus. Whenever someone asks me if I found Jesus, my snarky answer is I didn't realize he was lost. Right? What's the beginning of our gospel lesson? Who approaches who? It's Jesus that chooses Matthew. It's Jesus that chooses you and chooses me. It's Jesus that welcomes us to the table. It's Jesus that feeds us, that nurtures us, that heals us, that forgives us, and that frees us. It is the mercy that we see Jesus exhibit in the gospels. It is the mercy that we experience in Christ that guides us in our lives today. That when we leave this table, that it would be a witness to the world, because we would, as the body of Christ, be an extension of this table into the world, that we would be with, sit with, and break bread with all people, that the mercy of Jesus would be shown in our relationships with other people, and no longer keeping people at a distance, because our faith is in Jesus and not in the requirements of the world that keep people at a distance. No longer keeping people at a distance, we're inviting them to be at home with God, to come to the table and receive God's mercy now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Whose rise is your aim?
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need. We pray, O God, for the church. Unite us with any on the margins, that the whole world recognizes that your mercy is greater than our human capacity to restrict it. God, in your mercy. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister to in Christ. God, in your mercy. We pray, O God, for creation, tend forests and fields, and safeguard all cattle, birds, and wild animals. Preserve lakes, rivers, and oceans, and send rains to water the earth. Revive lands recovering from natural disasters. God, in your mercy. We pray, O God, for the nations. Awaken in our leaders compassion for people who have too often felt forgotten or neglected, and inspire policy solutions that promote equity and inclusion. God, in your mercy. We pray, O God, for all who are in need. Accompany anyone enduring chronic illness, any who suffer in secret, and those grieving a loved one's death. Send healing for all who plead for relief from sickness or pain, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Mary, Pat, Dixon, Alice, Pat, Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Doug, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Marcus, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, John, Art, Mary, the family of Jared Wardlaw, Diane, Carol, and our homebound. God, in your mercy. We pray, O God, for the eradication of racial hatred. On this week, when we commemorate the Emmanuel Nine, we implore you to cast out the demons of white supremacy that make us believe lies about ourselves and our neighbors. God, in your mercy. We give thanks, O God, for Barnabas, Jared Wardlaw, and all saints. Renew our faith that you can do what you have promised and raise us with all our beloved dead to new life. God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so of all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. O God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise, call us to your table, grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing. And full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In a night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen."
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen."
Amen.
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen."
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God most majestic, O God most motherly, O God our strength and our song, you show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. Distribution of the sacrament will be kneeling around the altar. So an usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward and just fill in. Try to get to the end and then we'll kind of fill out that way. We offer both consecrated wine and grape juice. Our assistant minister, Travis, will have the chalice of wine and usher will have the chalice of grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. And at this time, those who are participating in Children's Church may also come forward.
Thank you.
Please rise. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go, tell the whole world of his love.
Gracious God, in this meal, you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now, send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.